This morning to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Verse 26 of Genesis chapter 4 says this, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Some believe that God, if he is real, is not knowable. That God is not knowable. I'm glad this morning that that's not the case. That we've been allowed to search out God and his attributes. And in an invaluable way to search out God is looking at his names. As I was reading, studying for this this series on the names of God, I was it was confirmed in my soul again how that there's no way that this book could be man-written. That this system of religion that we call Christianity could have been concocted by man. And we'll see that, I believe, I hope, as we venture into this study and looking into the names of God. The Reformation Study Bible says this: "In the modern world, a person's name can be merely an identifying label." And I'll just pause to say that's the way that we are. We hear a name that sounds good, and I like that name. Or we name a child after ourselves, and that's fine. It does not reveal anything about the person. Russell, for instance, means hairy. Y'all are slow this morning, but you did get that. Biblical names, however, have their background in the widespread tradition that the personal name gives significant information about the one who bears it. The Old Testament constantly celebrates God's making his name known to Israel. And the Psalms again and again direct praise to God's name. Name here means God himself, as he has revealed himself by word and deed. That's important. As we will see, some of God's names are about him, his nature. Other of God's names are about what he does, what he has done. In the New Testament, continuing with the quote, "In the New Testament, the words and acts of Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, are a full revelation of the mind, character, and purposes of God the Father. Hallowed be your name," in the Lord's Prayer, expresses the desire that God will be revered and praised as the splendor of his entire self-disclosure deserves. Now, if that term self-disclosure seems a little bit out of place, I left out quite a bit of the section of this this article in the Reformation Study Bible. The title of it was God's Self-Disclosure. I am the Lord. And the names which are in the Word of God are God's revealing himself, disclosing himself to his people. A book that Brother Gary has lent me in this study, and one that we will quote from, Lord willing, quite a bit, is The Names of God by Andrew Jukes. And I've included that in our first lesson, a quote from Mr. Jukes. In his introduction, he says, "To know David, we must be told that he was a shepherd, warrior, king, prophet, and musician. All these are outcomes of a deep and rich nature. Shall we then wonder that God, the Maker, Judge, and Savior of all, who in Himself is love and power and wisdom, if He is to reveal His nature and relationships to those who know Him not, must be known by many names, each of which can only tell out something of His glory. At all events, God has thus revealed Himself to man, here a little and there a little. And His children, as they grow up into His likeness, can only bless and praise Him for such a revelation. This is an example of a statement that I have made, an illustration, I should say, of a statement I've made about doctrine and how that doctrine should not be boring. We can't get any more doctrinal than this, can we? God Himself, the study of God. But it is far from boring to the true child of God. It's glorious. And so we've chosen maybe a text this morning and an introduction that we wouldn't normally think of. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord. What does this mean? What does it mean? What did the writer here, what did the Holy Spirit mean when he says men began to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, I looked it up, and there are many different takes on this. Perhaps on its surface, we would assume that means prayer. And it is true, it does, but that's not all. You see, to call, that is kara in Hebrew, is about one's faith. It means to call unto. To call unto God. And this presupposes God's existence. Though we can't see Him. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. It presupposes God's existence. I like the way the Bible presupposes God's existence. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. There is no defense for the existence of God. And it seems a bit audacious for the creation, the creature, to wag his finger and say, I do not believe in God. It almost seems a bit comical when you think it through. I do not believe in God. Although God has granted him breath, I don't believe in him. This faith, and perhaps it is fitting more than I even knew when I was putting it together, but perhaps so fitting that we begin here. Because if you have not faith this morning, not only can you not please God, but you're not going to satisfy yourself in this study, in the approach to God, because we cannot see Him. But faith this morning is the substance. Man says, show me. I want evidence. Faith is the evidence. Man says, I won't believe it until I see it, until I touch it. Give me substance. Faith for the child of God is the substance. Can anybody talk you this morning out of your faith? Can anybody talk you out of your belief that God is real? He who has faith cannot be talked out of it. He who has been granted saving faith cannot be dissuaded ultimately, because God is. And if we're going to come to Him, if we're going to study Him, we must believe that He is. To call unto God. is about one's faith, presupposing God's existence, and acknowledging God's supremacy and our subjection. He who denies the existence of God, there are many arguments that are put forth. And there are some questions that if you get wrapped around them, they might hurt you a little because some of them are hard to answer. There are those who have some pretty significant, and some of them, may I say, are honest. If a person does not have faith, he might be just crying out, "I don't have faith. I don't believe this." At least he's honest. There are some honest questions that we as the creature can't really answer. But I would say it this way. He who is getting too bogged down into whether or not God exists, his problem is less about the big questions and more about subjection, submission. Because naturally, I don't want to submit to anybody. Naturally, man does what is right in his own eyes. That's what man does. But when we call upon the name of the Lord, call unto Him, it's about our faith. Secondly, kara, to call, is about one's purpose. Because the word means to proclaim. Now, we didn't intend this morning to look at the history of man this 235 years up to Enos, from Adam to Enos. For instance, Adam, I didn't intend to, I'll just touch on it, we'll go. Adam didn't try to convince Eve that God existed. I don't read that, and I think it's safe to assume that that didn't happen. Why? Well, he did exist. There was communion. There was not, I didn't wake up this morning wondering if my son existed. Why? Because he lives in my house. I know him. He's part of me. My wife, she's my wife. That'd be kind of a silly question. Hey, Cher, wake up. I'm wondering if Philip's alive. I'm wondering if he exists. That's silly. Adam didn't try to convince Eve. But as time went on, as the result of the fall, as the sentence of death passed upon all men, there came a point when it is said that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, if you look at also the seed, that is Adam, Seth, Enos, all the way to Christ, all the way to us, spiritually. Then this is a significant thing. Because Enos, or in his day, what I believe is meant by the term sons of God, I don't believe that's angels. If you want to discuss that and straighten me out on that later, then I'll listen. In fact, there are some real smart people that believe that it was a spiritual thing, the sons of God mentioned in Genesis. I don't believe that. I believe that it was this new godly seed that God promised in the garden. These began to proclaim. In this day, men began to call upon or to proclaim the name of God. The psalmist says, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Fast forward 6,000 years, here we are proclaiming still the name of God. Calling unto, if you will, the name of God. Thirdly, what does it mean to call? It's about one's dependence. It means to cry unto him. I'm sorry. To cry out to him is what that should be. To cry out to God. As triune God, he is the strong and faithful deity. As all-powerful creator and merciful redeemer, life, both temporal and eternal, is found only in him. That's why we cry out to him. As possessor of heaven and earth, all authority is his. As worthy master, he alone is to be worshipped. As almighty God, he is our strength. And as everlasting and unchangeable God, he is the sure and able performer of his promises. The believer's rest. As all-seeing, he provides for his own. As all-caring, he heals his people. As the God of peace, we depend on him for our reconciliation and acceptance. Fourthly, calling upon the name of the Lord has to deal with our identity. The word means, literally, to bear, to lift up. Like that word take that we read in Exodus 20. Take the Lord's name. As armor, we bear it. That is what I believe is meant here in Genesis 4. When men began to call upon the name of the Lord, it is not only crying unto him, crying out to him, proclaiming him, but it is identifying with him. And so who is this God that we serve? Who is this? Upon whom do we call? Or upon what do we call? Who is this strong deity that we mention? The faithful God of the universe. Well, his name is Elohim. Elohim. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Who is this all-powerful creator? Our redeemer and source of life, both temporal and eternal. His name is Jehovah, or Yahweh, if you prefer. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord... There is capitals. There is Yahweh, the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, made the earth and the heavens. As Jehovah, he is our creator. And as Jehovah, he is our redeemer. We sang a moment ago about God dying for us. What an awesome thought that is. He is strong, powerful. And again, another evidence that this is not man-made. No way. No way could it be that the all-powerful God would also be our Redeemer. Who is this Most High God? Lord of all. His name is El Elyon. Elyon. Genesis 14, and he, that was speaking of Melchizedek, blessed him, that is Abraham, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. This morning we are listing some of these. I have not listed all, and we will perhaps deal with more of the names of God. But here, His name is El Elyon, Most High God. Who is this all-worthy Master, worthy of our worship? His name is Jehovah Adonai. Adonai. Genesis 15:2. And Abram said, Lord God. Abram said, Lord God. Zephaniah 1, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. All caps. He is Jehovah Adonai, all worthy Master. Who is this Almighty God, our strength and sufficiency? His name is El Shaddai. In Genesis 17:1, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. He that dwelleth, Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. El Shaddai. It'll be a blessing studying El Shaddai. Who is this everlasting and unchangeable God that we call unto, that we call upon, that we identify with, upon whom the believers rest? His name is El Olam. In Genesis 21:33, and Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. While we don't understand eternity, I mean, I can define it for you, but I remember as a young Christian trying to come to grips with eternity. Have you ever been down that road? You look up and it's been 30 minutes and your mind's doing this round and round. We can't really fully comprehend that. All of our lives are based on the calendar, the watch, the clock. I'm watching it right now. Not His. Eternity is not based on clock. We know that while we praise the Lord for what we have right here, it's not going to last forever, as they say. We will start saying goodbye to people. If we all stay together long enough, we'll start saying goodbye to people as they leave this world and go to the next. Things change. What's it based on? It's based on age. It's based on time. Our God is not limited by time. He is eternal. That way and that way, eternal. And while that is a blessing to us, it's hard to understand. Let me ask you, would you want to serve a God who wasn't eternal? My limited understanding should not be the criteria by which I judge my God. It should be the criteria by which I submit to my God. He is big. He is eternal. Can't comprehend that, but praise His name for it. He is everlasting and unchangeable. He is El Olam. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and they, and shall say, destroy them. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Perhaps this was something that disturbed the Jews in Jesus' day, not only by his saying, for Abraham was I am, in the sense of his identification with the Father, but in this whole thing of time, before Abraham was I am. How can that be in the reference of time? I can see those guys sitting around talking later. How can he, before Abraham rejoiced to see my day? You see, we are so limited by space and time. But our God is not. And our Lord Jesus Christ is not. Who is this all-seeing, providential God who sustains us? Well, his name is Jehovah Jireh. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Isn't that a wonderful thought? God is the provider. Not only our sustainer temporally, but he has provided the lamb, Jehovah Jireh. And here, of course, a name of God based on what he does. Who is this compassionate, great physician? His name is Jehovah Rapha. In Exodus 15:26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Rapha, the great physician. He is the Lord who heals. And won't that be a wonderful study as we get there one of these days, eventually? Our God who heals us. Who is this God of peace that we spoke of, that we cry out to? His name is Jehovah Shalom. Shalom. You don't have to know much Hebrew to know that Shalom means peace. Shalom. Our God of peace. And who is this God? This one with whom we identify, whose flag, if you will, we boldly wave. His name is Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah is my banner. My banner. It will transform the child of God's life when he realizes that this world is not his home, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is not just God that he serves. It is his life. What are you this morning? We laugh about, I am a Kentuckian and I'm trying to be a Texan. You should have seen my boots I was wearing last night. I mean, they were strictly Western boots. It's got to go toward this Texan thing, right? I'm not either of those. With all due respect, I'm not either Kentuckian or Texan. I'm a citizen of another country. Wave proudly the banner, Jehovah Nissi. We wave proudly, if I could use that word proud in the right sense, I think you understand. Boldly, how's that? Wave boldly the banner, I am a child of God. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. The name of God. To hallow a thing is to make it holy or to set it apart, to be exalted as being worthy of absolute devotion. To hallow the name of God is to regard Him with complete devotion and loving admiration. God's name is of the utmost importance. Therefore, we ought to reserve it a position of grave significance in our minds and hearts. We should never take His name lightly, but always rejoice in it and think deeply upon its true meaning. Last week, the lesson, my dear brother, brought was regarding taking the name of the Lord in vain. Taking the name. And you saw that it was about what we say, but it was also about what we do. It's about what we identify with, but it's also about the lives that we live. I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Referring again, and I'll be done. We're gonna let you out early today. Don't take it for granted. Referring back to the hypothetical naysayer. His problem, he would say, is about God. But what he references more often than not is not God, because God cannot be seen. He references those who claim to know God and are hypocritical. In fact, hypocrite is one of the most oft used, most cherished words of the atheist, or of the agnostic, or of that one in that crisis of faith. Such hypocrisy, they say. Why? Because they are judging God's existence by those who claim to know Christ. Now that is a horrible indictment, I would say, on those who name the name of Christ, because what these people are observing is real. There is true, real, palpable hypocrisy among those who name the name of Christ. But if I take the name of God, that is, I embrace, I identify with, I wave the flag, and it is a hallowed name in my soul, which brings with it ultimate devotion, then that naysayer can't look at me and say God doesn't exist. He will look at you and me and say, if God exists, if Christianity is real, there's a real one. There's a real Christian. See, that's taking the name of the Lord, not in vain, but taking it with devotion. Hallowed be thy name. Much can be gleaned by a study of the many names of God, each shedding particular light on our Lord's glorious attributes, each leading to new truths regarding the blessed Lord we love and serve. I thought about this illustration. I'm not going to deal with that. Let's finish up. Romans 11:33 says this: Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Of course, God's redeemed people will see our Lord Jesus Christ throughout the study, Old Testament and New. We're going to see Christ. We're going to bring that out. God Himself will provide a lamb, foreshadowing our Lord Jesus Christ, right? The Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. In a messianic verse, Psalm 72, His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in Him All nations shall call him blessed. God, in Philippians 2, has given him, has exalted him, highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Well, I don't understand what's going on in heaven. Bow the knee. I don't understand what's happening down here. I don't understand the wars. I don't understand the abuse. I don't understand sickness and death. I don't understand this dryness that I'm experiencing spiritually. I don't understand these things. Bow the knee to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow the knee. Things in heaven, things in earth, even things under the earth, the name of Jesus Christ, highly exalted, is to whom we bow. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm looking forward to the study on the names of God. It's been a challenge, I won't lie to you. It's been a daunting thought. But as we take one step in and we see it opening up, we see we could spend a lot of time here. And it could be very valuable to us and glorifying to Him, and I trust that it will be. Father, thank You this morning for meeting with us like You do. Thank You, Father, that You condescended. And our Lord Jesus Christ took upon Him the form of a servant. And God, our Creator, is also our Redeemer. Thank You 1,000 times for redeeming us for Yourself. May our lives always show forth that praise. And as we wave the banner of our Lord Jesus Christ, may we not do it with hypocrisy, but as hallowed and with ultimate devotion. Lord, we love You today. Strengthen us, we pray. Build up our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.